broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for September the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Sam Bushman. Kirk Cosby's with me. And a quick recap of yesterday's show should make sense, folks. We talked to our guest, Mr. Larry Pratt, discussions of all things liberty. We talked about yesterday marked the 18th anniversary of September the 11th. We talked about, have you ever heard the country song by Alan Jackson, that September day? Where were you when the world stopped turning, was his question. We were on the radio live reporting the events of 9/11, shocked that it was happening, sad for the victims, prayers for the survivors, and more. And 18 years later, ladies and gentlemen, they want you just to, celebrate it with sadness. Sadness for the victims and celebrate the heroes. And I understand all that. But I also understand that, you know what? I don't believe the official narrative the government's telling us on 9/11. I just don't believe it. Now, I don't believe in every conspiracy theory surrounding the 9/11 issues either. I don't know what happened at 9/11, but I know this. The story is not as the government has told us. We played a soundbite from Jamie McIntyre, a well-known senior CNN correspondent to the Pentagon. And he literally said on that day live, hey, you know what? I don't see any planes that hit the Pentagon. Man, there's nothing here. Everything is so small, you can just pick up little teeny pieces in your hand. That's it. Then later on Kara Phillips on CNN, he said, hey, man, I took pictures of the fuselage. His story doesn't add up at all. You add that to the 9/11 truthers, and you can say they're all crazy, but many of them are professionals, engineers, and all kinds of people who gave up their jobs over saying, you know what, something does not smell right here. Something is wrong. Stephen E. Jones, a well-known physicist at Brigham Young University, is one of those. He spoke out on 9/11 and said, this isn't the way it looks wrong. This is a demolition. His instincts told him so. They did some testing, and they found active thermitic material discovered in dust from 9/11. Where did that all come from? So the inconsistencies are great, folks. And the University of Alaska study shows that the fire was not the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. It was not. So more and more evidence contradicts the official narrative. Okay, and I don't know what the official narrative is, folks, on 9/11. I don't have any intel. I don't have any facts. What I do have, though, is a logical mind. And I do have the ability in my mind not to just follow the crowd and just shut up and be silent. I have the mind that says who, what, when, where, why. And there's rumors that a lot of the 9/11, quote, terrorists are still alive. There's rumors of all kind of things surrounding the 9/11 attacks, and I don't know what the truth is at all. But for example, some networks reported Building 7 fallen before it ever happened. Inconsistencies, training on that day, military training, inconsistencies between Dick Cheney running the war room for George Bush, and others said, we got to do this, and he said, stand down, don't do anything. NORAD planes were getting ready to go into the sky and challenge what was happening in the air, told to stop and turn around. So many conflicts, so many Confucius statements by people that make you just go, something isn't right here. Something does not make sense. Multiple explosions heard by many witnesses. videos that seem strange about when the planes hit the buildings, they just kind of melt into the buildings. And, you know, Building 7 falling like a pancake. Larry Epstein's soundbite, I think his name is, basically saying, you know what, pull it. All kinds of inconsistencies that, you know what, I don't know what happened. And I'm not jumping into conspiracy theories of what may have happened. I don't know everything. But I know this, the inconsistencies are beyond imagination. And it seems like the longer we go celebrating or dealing with 9/11, the more inconsistencies we discover. And so it's a sad tale to tell. The way that I know that there's more to the events than all those inconsistencies is this idea that if I ever bring up that I don't believe the 9/11 official story from our government, then what happens is they turn on me and they say, you're a 9/11 truther. You're crazy. You're whacked. You're a conspiracy nut. You're, you know, unhinged. You're, and then I'm a conspiracy theorist and I'm everything else. And if the truth is the truth, why attack me? Why attack me? Why not just deal with the facts? A lot of the videos have never been released. A lot of the cameras, we're told, were just somehow off. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. Some of the phone calls from people that were in planes don't seem like they were genuinely the phone calls that we think they were. You got weird anomalies with plane tail numbers, etc. You've got a lot of strange anomalies going on here that are just weird stuff. And you add that all up, though, and you say, if this is true, why would you then attack Sam Bushman for saying I don't believe the official story? Why would you attack Sam Bushman and say I'm a conspiracy then just because I wonder about those inconsistencies? Okay, most of the reports released on 9/11 don't cover Building 7 at all. This Alaska University story completely debunks the NIST. That's a government entity, NIST, by the way. Official story on 9/11. You've got whatever mechanics. What's that magazine called? Okay, they're coming out against everybody. And okay, why all the confusion and the anger and the hatred and the attacking of one's character just because we want the truth? You would think if it was a legitimate happening, as we've been told completely, that they would say, look, we don't mind anybody digging into it. Any intel we can get would be great. But anytime we get into intel about it, we get attacked big time, and it becomes a massive bullying exercise. You're a 9/11 truther. You're a truther. You're a birther. And all these labels, instead of dealing with the facts. Birther's one of them. Take Barack Obama's birth certificate. I don't know where Barack was born. All I know is this. Experts say his birth certificate, the one we have that claims where he was born, is forged. The only question left is, well, where's the real one? What's the real truth? And, well, we just want the truth. But then they double down and say, you're a birther. You're a hater. You're evil. Why don't you? Can we challenge official stories? Can we ask questions? Well, a lot of news organizations try to do that and get shut down. So Conservative Network wants $10 million for NBC host's on-air claim. One American News accuses Rachel Maddow of defamation for calling their news service Russian propaganda. Wow. I don't know why that's all going on. Can't they, you know, deal with the news the way they want to? By the way, that organization has nothing to do with the Russians. Gun sales surged 15%, driven by self-protection. As Pelosi and Schumer demand, they want limits on your guns. Gun rights activists are testing Walmart's resolve not to have open carry guns in the store. And they say no challenges so far. San Francisco City Board voted September the 3rd in favor of a resolution declaring the NRA a terrorist organization. Rasmussen's survey reveals nearly a third of Democrats want the NRA to be labeled a terrorist organization. Why? Okay, you can disagree with the NRA, but a terrorist organization? I question if the Democratic Party is a terrorist organization, if you want to be, you know, perfectly honest. Many of them are socialists, even though they've sworn an oath to the Constitution. I mean, what's up with that? Hour two, we talked about Jack Ma stepped down from leading Alibaba on his 55th birthday. But, of course, he's, I guess, going into some philanthropy work to help promote and focus on the needs for youth in education. I hope that goes well. Wendy's is hiring 20,000 new workers because they're going to be opening with a breakfast menu. Trump said, I fired John Bolton. John Bolton said, no, you didn't. I resigned. We'll probably never know the truth. Nevertheless, Ron Paul and Rand Paul are speaking out about it. Ron Paul says, better late than never. Bolton's firing gives Trump a chance to move towards his instincts of peace. Rand Paul responds to the news that National Security Advisor John Bolton resigned and said the chances of war will go down significantly. I agree with both of them. But I'm fearful that Donald's just going to put another war hawk in place, that's all. Looks like Michael Jordan, NBA legend, donates $1 million for hurricane relief in the Bahamas. Good for Michael Jordan. Just think what we could do if others would pick that mantra up and donate too, not using the government stealing tax dollars to help with philanthropy or humanitarian efforts. But imagine it being a charitable, real charitable event. We talked about a type 1 diabetic can't go more than 72 hours without insulin. Yes, many of them are forced to ration the life-sustaining drug because of the out-of-control costs. We talked about direct primary care, DPCs. Go learn about them. Combined with Liberty Health Share as some other catastrophic shareable industry, or ministry, I should say, and you can do very well healthcare-wise. We'll dig into that more as Liberty Roundtable Live future episodes unfold. Liberty Health Share provides individuals and families with affordable ways to share their health care, and that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. We were live on 9/11, and we're live now. And Brian Rust coming up with an Honest Money Report on your radio. Listen to
the wind blow. The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Brian Rust with us, rustcoinandgift.com. Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
Marvelous, sir. Okay, what's the update on gold?
Well, metals have come, they're kind of up and down a little bit right now, but up quite a bit from where they've been. 1522.10 is what gold is today.
Okay, 1522.10.
And silver is sitting at 1843.
So that's up a teeny bit, but not much. But it's way up from several weeks ago, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look back at some of the charts. I mean, gold's increased $300 over the last year or so, and and silver's come up, down around that $12. I mean, now you're up $6.50. So we're seeing some, the pressures out there, some of the things happening out there, and I'm saying about time. I mean,
it
ought to be about $35 on silver, tell you the truth, and say based on if you look at, kind of things that have happened in the past.
So what do you think, Kurt? Silver up literally a third. Those who were waiting for gold and silver to kind of bump, there you go.
Great point, Sam. And, we've been watching for this. And, some of us hope that it doesn't do things like that simply because it means, problems in the economy. But, I also, there's part of me that basically hopes for return of honest money, where we actually use silver and gold, like the Constitution outlines, and all you got to do is look in, on eBay or, at the course of Brian's place, RussCoinAgift.com, and check out the money like it used to be, and you'll say, let's make America great again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say this, though, that just because gold and silver become more, quote, expensive compared to the U.S. dollar, it's good if you have gold and silver, you want to cash it in for cash, but it's not good. I mean, eventually, what if we had a wheelbarrow of cash to get a piece of silver? What I mean is it means that the dollar's tanking is what it really means. Gold and silver really hasn't moved much. It's just against the dollar. The dollar's going down. They're making a weaker dollar on purpose, though, I believe, and they're doing it because they want us to play in the, quote, global economy a little better. I don't personally see the need necessarily to always focus on a global economy. I don't see the need to always focus on getting in spending. I don't see the need to always focus on manipulating the dollar so we get advantage at the expense of other nations, or them doing it so they get an advantage over us. I would rather just have honest money. I'd rather have value for value, meaning work for money, money for goods, goods and services. And I think that there's an exchange there that could take place, but the money changers can't get rich that way. And that's the biggest problem. The reason I bring this all up is there's an interesting Wallet Hub study that just came out. So according to the recent Wallet Hub study or survey, Utah has been ranked as the second happiest state in the nation. Now, they say happiness is obviously a subjective term there, Brian. So to put some numbers behind the rankings, they say Wallet Hub scored each of the 50 states on, quote, three key dimensions: emotional and physical well-being, work environment, and community and environment. And of those three dimensions, they say they had 31 metrics used, and they rated everything on a 100-point scale. Now, they say Utah has the best ranking in the nation for a happiness-inducing work environment, whatever that means. And it's the second best in the community environment. Overall, it's second. But listen carefully, and this is the reason that I bring this up now. They say happiness comes from a combination between internal and external factors. We can influence it somewhat by approaching situations positively or choosing to spend time with people we love. Doing activities we enjoy, for example, that's one way. One thing they say that does not drive happiness is money. Happiness only increases with wealth up to an annual income of somewhere between $75,000 and $95,000. Anyway, it goes on, but they basically say money isn't the driver of happiness. You got to have enough to do well, which is now determined to be about $75,000. Between $75,000 and $95,000, money, if you're below that or above that, then you become kind of in this unhappy realm. But if you're in that range, then money's not really a factor. Now, I find that interesting that they say money doesn't bring happiness, but then they provide a range for happiness. Am I confused, Brian?
No, I think there's some key elements in there. I think, Utah being we want to serve. I think we're hardworking people. And I think, we're taught that peace of mind. And I think some of those factors You know, we don't need to be rich to be happy. In fact, I know a lot of rich people that aren't happy. But I think if we have our family around us, then we're peace of mind would mean that, okay, I'm not fear. There's no fear there. If things are happening, I prepared myself with gold and silver and other aspects, then I don't fear. I can lead a happy life. I can enjoy my family and I don't mind working hard and serving others. And I think those are key elements to help us. I mean, kind of God.
Hold on now. Stop. They managed to write the whole study, all 50 states, talk about this, everything, and not mention the G word. And Brian comes out of the gate whipping out the G word. Kurt, what are we going to do with this guy?
Well, that's exactly right. And it's so important to include that. Basically the creator in this factor. Just because he's who created the earth, he created us, and he's also given us the blueprint for true happiness, even though Wallet Hub doesn't seem to understand that.
Yeah, they don't mention it at all, and I find that Brian is spot on. I'm joking when I say, what are we going to do with this guy? Because that seems to be the attitude they have, but I think that we need to have a God, family, country. What would you call that? The GFC index, Brian? And if people were pleased with their relationship with God, and or had a relationship with God at the least, so you'd have kind of this sliding index there. And then they were pleased with and had a strong family, and then they were happy with their country. You kind of wonder where the happiness would be nationwide. And so I think there's some factors that relate to that. Sure, you got to have enough money to pay your bills. Otherwise, it's a stress factor. But you got to have God, family, and country. The GFC index, in my opinion, is going to top everything. They talked about people around you. They talked about having enough money to pay your bills. They talked about this emotional well-being, the environment, nice things to do. They talked about a lot of those things. But every one of those things has a root in God, family, and country, in my view. But they mention flat out none of it, Brian.
Yeah, they don't want to look at that, you know, because they want to stay in the world scene. You know, they don't want people, you know, believing in God, and if you look at, you know, we've taken God out of so much things, I wonder where our country's falling apart. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of studies that we could look at. Now, they might not want to look at God, but if you, you know, analyze all these factors, you're removing God, this in schools, this here, I mean, you're looking at the collapse, and yeah, you know, they pinpoint different things, but I believe and tie that to because we're removing these true principles from society.
Proven point, most of these people that go ballistic and have mental illness and go crazy with a gun come from fatherless homes and or broken homes, even if the father's around in some divorced kind of a way. But they don't have a religious upbringing either. So you take the religious upbringing out of the mix, you take a broken home or a fatherless home, put that into the mix, and you go, you know, that's most of the case. And then you add to that, hey, these guys can't get, I don't know what you want to call it, satisfactory relationships with women. I'm trying to be careful here because, you know, they might be seeking for the wrong relationships with women. That might be part of the problem, too. But nevertheless, they feel rejected. So they don't have any relationship with God. They don't have a strong support family. They don't have a network of friends and loved ones and a support group around them. And no wonder things run off the rails for these people. You add drugs into the mix, that's a whole nother topic. But I bring this up to say, I believe the real happiness quotients that everything else is downstream from. So when they say people want to have, you know, loved ones around them, well, that's the family. And if you don't have a traditional normal family because it's melted down or fallen apart, you still need a familial support group of some kind. Whether it be friends and people at work that take you in, or whether it be people at church that take you in. I'm not saying the family has to be a perfect family the way I would define it, traditionally speaking. But I am saying it's got to be there. You've got to have this support group. You got to have love. You got to have. And so they're pointing to all the factors, and they're claiming it's not money. But they're not pointing to the source of those factors, in my opinion. When we come back, Kurt's got a ranking. I just emailed you, Kurt, the ranking of the states. Check that out. And I want to see, you know, where the states fall. It's kind of interesting who's on the top of the list and who hits the bottom. Hawaii's the top state. Did you know that? Utah's second. Wallet Hub study in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live. Hang tight, folks.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. Supreme Court will let the Trump administration enforce its new asylum rules that say people seeking asylum need to do so in a third country. That would block most immigrants from Central and South America from seeking asylum at the southern border of the United States. Here's correspondent Wendy King.
Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented from the High Court's order. Sotomayor said the ruling upends long-standing practices regarding refugees who seek shelter from persecution.
The National Hurricane Center says a storm system southeast of the Bahamas has a 70% chance of forming into a tropical depression or a tropical storm over the next 5 days. It's expected to move towards Florida. There are two other systems that could also develop into cyclones in the Atlantic. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN or 800-289-2646 or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
President Trump's expected to make a decision on gun control measures this week, and later today he's to be briefed on ideas for gun reform that are endorsed by members of Congress. He said yesterday he is working with senators who are pushing for strong background checks. Meanwhile, another retailer is asking customers not to bring guns into their stores. Florida-based Publix asking that only law enforcement officials openly carry firearms in Publix locations. The supermarket chain has over 1,200 stores across the southeastern U.S., including in some states where open carry is legal. 10 Democratic presidential candidates are preparing for tonight's debate in Houston. Among them, former Vice President Joe Biden will take center stage. He'll have Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren on either side. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, they say one thing that does not drive happiness is money. If you make $75,000 to $95,000, you're in the sweet spot. Below that, money's a factor. Above that, money kind of is a factor. So there you have that. I'm not sure what an annual income means if both husband and wife have to work all the time. That kind of erodes happiness, in my opinion. So I believe there's a lot of factors they're not really even willing to discuss. And by the way, I don't know if you know, the suicide rate in the United States has hit the highest level in 50 years, and there's worry that it's going to get even worse.
Yeah.
By the way, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, I might add as well. So that's why I spend so much time talking about this study and talking about the factors that we believe can really make people happy. And it starts with God, family, and country. In my mind, it really does. And every study you can point to about the family breakdown and all this points to you got to have a strong family, a support group. You got to have God. You got to have your needs met. You can go to if you want to get into psychology, you can go into the hierarchy of needs and all this kind of stuff. But bottom line is, happiness comes from a sense of well-being, and that comes from a sense of support and fitting in and relationships. And it's about people more than things, I'll tell you that right now. But our society is a lot more about things rather than people. Kurt, do you have the states really quick?
Yes, I do, Sam. As you say about these studies, it all depends on who's doing the scoring, that kind of thing. What do you want, the happiest or the least happy?
Well, let's just do maybe the top 10 happiest really quick.
All right. So they've got number one, Hawaii, number two, Utah, number three, Minnesota, number four, California, number five, New Jersey, Number 6, Idaho. Number 7, Massachusetts. Number 8, Maryland. Number 9, Nebraska. And number 10, Connecticut.
And the worst 10?
All right. Number 50, they give it West Virginia. 49, Arkansas. Alaska at 48. I think they were the 48th state as well. 47, Mississippi. Louisiana, 46. Kentucky, 45. Alabama, 44. Oklahoma, 43. Tennessee, 42. Missouri, 41. And New Mexico, 40.
So, you know, it's interesting how that stacks up. Brian, you want to respond to that?
Well, you know, I was kind of shocked that California is one of the happiest states when people are moving out of California quite rapidly. I don't know, maybe they don't think it's quite, maybe those on the beach are happy. Anyway,
New York was closer to the top too, which I find fascinating.
Yeah, that's right. Well, as you said, Sam, I think you hit it right on. Well-being, I mean, I think, you know, it doesn't mean our lives, if you know, are perfect if we have religion and so on. I mean, we believe that we'll have trials and tribulations, but if we have a house of order, we're you know, well-being is part of that, and our finances are part of that. And I think if people are so far in debt and can't see any kind of light at the end of the tunnel, there's so much stress on them, you know, and we see suicide and all these things, and then you've got government and the fight back and forth. There, some people are like, there's no end. But I think we can gain hope, you know, of having our family around or good friends or positive, you know, being happy and more positive and not gloom and doom. But you know, we believe in, you know, that we are blessed if we can, and as we bless others, that we can, you know, that we don't have to, you know, carry all this burden on us and think of suicide and so on. I think there's a lot of elements that we can be happy about.
Well, and it's interesting, some of these states that are mentioned, New York and California, they're very, very, very expensive states. I'm telling you right now, $75,000 in California ain't going to pay for nothing hardly. And what I find fascinating about that is if you live in, say, in Utah with $75,000, you're going to be a lot happier than if you live in California with $75,000. And Donald Trump, this is according to the HUD secretary. You know who that is, Kurt?
Isn't that Ben Carson?
Yes, sir. It's Ben Carson. And so a black guy and a white guy working together, I don't think they're too racist when they're working together. Nevertheless, you know, he says this. Trump passionate about tackling homelessness. Well, in New York and California, some of the top states, there's a lot of homelessness because people can't make enough money to go ahead and, you know, pay the bills. So now in California, for example, they're talking about having rent price controls like they do in New York. And this is kind of what I would point to is that, you know, when you say that you want to tackle homelessness, how do you want to tackle that? And this is what I mean about downstream realities from God, family, and country. Most of the people that are homeless don't have a strong relationship with God, don't have a strong relationship family-wise. They don't have income in the range that they need. They've got mental illness, so oftentimes they're on medication or they're criminal activity. Okay, you put all this together and you go, what would lift them out of homeless? The government stealing a bunch of tax dollars and building a bunch of homes, Brian?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Donald's kind of aiming at?
Right. Yeah.
But see, I don't believe that's the answer.
That's right. I agree.
What is the answer?
Well, I think there's programs that can help and bless. And I think that under, you know, I would say, you know, that the church I belong to tries to give and help and support with programs in providing food and shelter and things. The problem, you know, I think when we get government into everything, you know, it's a quick fix and everybody wants government to help or do it all. So I, you know, and government looks at them, well, hey, we can just do it all. Let us just get involved in everything and we'll take care of all of you. You know, you need drugs or whatever, we'll give you the drugs and we'll have a area here and we'll provide you with, I mean, the problem is I think we as individuals, if we go back to the home, some of this can be maybe overcome if we just have right principles and structure and we build, you know, build each other in the family. And I don't know, I think it works a lot better. I don't know if I made any sense there. But
no, it makes sense. So you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The needs are physiological. Okay, so that means, you know, you got to start with, you got to have safety. Well, man, when you're on the streets and homeless, you don't got safety. Love, belonging, esteem, self-actualization or self-worth. Okay, that's what the psychologists go by. And I think there's a lot of truth to this. What are the five levels of need hierarchy you got to ask yourself, right? What are the seven human needs? What do the hierarchy of needs mean? And on a physical level, I think we need love and belonging first and foremost. I think we need to feel safe first and foremost. On a physical level, I think we need fuel, shelter, clothing, and food. Not necessarily in that order, but you got to have water and food. You got to have clothes to keep you warm and safe. And, you know, you got to have shelter to keep you out of the elements. And, okay, a lot of these are basic needs. And I don't think the government, especially, say, in California that's homeless, I don't think Donald Trump, over 2,000 miles away, frankly, I don't think he can do a bit of good. Yeah, he can throw money at the problem, but I don't believe money's the problem, Kurt.
Well, honest money would be a key to at least going away to say, hey, you restore to the constitutional way of doing, I guess you could say, business. You know, there's so many solutions. I was looking at a Guardian.com piece that they've got a little while back, and it says a return to the gold standard will not win Trump's trade war. These guys, of course, are not promoting it, but then they say the subheadline, the president's nominee for the Fed believes pegged exchange rates will fix the U.S. trade deficit. Not so, they say. You know, the president's been pretty vocal about his idea of getting interest rates down. And he's even, I've heard some commercials from different places that say that he wants to return to the gold standard. At least it's refreshing to hear some of that. When it comes to interest, I think those rates ought to be set by, the market, not by some quasi-government entity.
Now, I've got an interesting story that relates to this in a strange way. Listen up. Veterans with PTSD and anxiety turn to beekeeping for relief, Kurt.
Well, yes, Tim, and this is probably a part of that happiness index thing that you were talking about, because I think if veterans or anybody start spending time with some, you know, maybe some of God's creations, whether it's a bees or rabbits or chickens or whatever, you know, it's a lot better than more screen time, I think. What do you think?
I think you're spot on, and this is kind of the point that I'm getting. I understand Abraham Maslow's psychological hierarchy of needs, and I get all that. But I want to look at God, family, and country in relation to the hierarchy of needs. And when these veterans go, you know, keep bees, there's a lot of things that happen there. Let's talk about it.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
So, you two are real actors, huh? Well, I was an extra on a soap opera for 3 years.
And I'm best known for starring in cat food commercials.
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years, probably until you're both off to college. Your real parents will be back every night at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Hey, your dad's busy. He's got work, softball, client functions.
Yeah, and your mom, she's got the literary club and play rehearsals. So.
Don't you worry. They'll be back on time.
Otherwise, we get time and a half.
Ka-ching! Okay, according to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Ooh, is that the best you can do?
I think I want my real parents.
I don't see that in the script.
No ad-libbing, please.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, you'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, Brian, we know you got to fly, but I wanted to get a couple of last comments from you. I think we got to look at the hierarchy of needs based on God, family, and country. And I look at these beekeepers example, and I say, you know what? What this beekeeping does is get them close to the earth, close to God's creations, as Kurt wisely points out. But it also gets them in a situation where they feel a sense of belonging. Now we're going back to this, you know, hierarchy of needs of love and belonging, and they feel like they have a sense of purpose. They have value. They're, you know what? I'm producing honey. Stuff tastes great. People love it. I'm connected to the earth. I'm doing something every day with my time, taking my mind off my woes. Very healing indeed. And so I don't think it takes much for people to truly be happy. I don't think it's a lot of money. I don't think it's first world stuff. I think there's something a lot simpler that no one's looking at in this beekeeper story from veterans that have PTSD. It's making a big difference for these people. And I think it's a key to the answer, Brian.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things like that out there, and you don't hear much about it. I think we're so wrapped up in the negative issues that are out there and are affecting us, and that when we need to declutter our lives, actually, and get back into just what you're talking about right there. You know, and I think our societies, boy, I'll tell you, if our homes were structured more on, you know, positive and reinforcement and loving each other and so on. It starts there, and now we're pushing away the family, boarding children. We don't have, most people don't even want to have kids, but you're right on. I mean, it's back to these things, absolutely.
Now, they say Facebook has been going down a lot. Facebook is experiencing worldwide outages. That's according to a report from a company that's designed to watch when technology goes down. They say there have been roughly 92-plus reports of Facebook outages. Kurt, you want to respond to this? I'm convinced these Facebook outages and stuff, people are thinking that technology is the answer to happiness, or without technology, the world's ending, and they need to step back from their addictions and the dishonesty and say, what makes people really happy? Kurt?
You know, I'd probably suggest you replace Facebook with FaceTime. In other words,
hey, now that's, you know, a technology looking there, at, Kurt.
Is it? Well,
yes,
anyway,
sir. FaceTime is a face-to-face video phone application. And so you don't mean that kind of FaceTime is why I'm bringing this up.
Right. In the old days, FaceTime was, you know, you looked at your wife, your husband, your children, your, you know, relatives, you know, even friends. And you actually would talk. You didn't text them. Because that wasn't an option. But there's a lot to be said by getting back to the basics, and you know, you can't do that anywhere more than, if you ask me, if you're talking about honest money, RussCoinAndGift.com, you know.
All right, any final thoughts before we let you fly, Brian? I know this isn't our traditional money discussion, but when we're always searching for happiness in money, in technology, in buying and spending and getting and whatever else, I think we need to, if we want honest money, part of that honest money discussion is about honesty with regards to how money relates or does not relate to happiness.
That's right. So, you know, it doesn't make us happy that we have a lot of money. What it does is give us peace of mind. And I think that that's one of the tools that makes our house a house of order. So, you know, one of those things, no debt, you know, and staying out of debt and peace of mind. So absolutely. You had some good talk.
By the way, I was going to, also I noticed your website sure looks pretty cool lately, Brian. Russ Quinn. Yeah,
I'm pretty cool. Tech savvy, so sometimes it doesn't look as good, and I get hacked in there. I got to have the guys pull things out. I don't know, but I'm not the best at that stuff. But face to face,
got some really cool pictures. That's right. Go see him. Call him.
Well, you've done some work, though, in terms of revamping the website and doing a lot to it, though, right?
Yeah, I try to stay on a little bit. I get so busy, though. Sometimes I, what's going on there? So, yeah, But I'm a people person. So if you want to come and say hi and talk to me, that's who I am.
If you want some FaceTime, you know what? Meet Brian in person. He'll shake your hand. He'll look you in the eye, and he'll be your friend in the honest money business. Thanks, Brian.
There you go. Hey, thank you. Good work today.
He's doing a phenomenal job. RustCoinAndGift.com. That's RustCoinAndGift.com. His family's been helping people for over 50 years, Kurt. That's something that's notable, too. He's been around for a long time, done a lot of good for a lot of people, helped people stay out of debt, helped people understand proper investing, a little bit here, a little bit there, wise counsel and advice from RustCoinAndGift.com. You know, the suicide rate's at an all-time high, Kurt. They say it's hit the highest level in 50 years. I guess that would mean, it was high before, too. But September is Suicide Prevention Month. And I bring this up because I think there's ways to prevent suicide. And I think that we can work on it. The answer don't lie in Facebook. The answers don't lie in getting and spending and everything else. There's an element, though, when you promote God, family, and country, Kurt, and when you promote the real answers to help people have well-being and safety and stability and everything else, we are being persecuted, says David Kapelian, WorldNet Daily, WND.com. Do you have that piece, Kurt? Reading this is kind of important from David because he has some details. I emailed this to you, too. But this is really, I think, critical for well-being.
So we're being persecuted.
Yes.
This is a great author, by the way. He says, here's why, he says, we're talking about the WorldNet Daily piece, and then he's, people are after them, they say, but he says, WorldNet Daily was founded 22 years ago, long before Google, Facebook, Twitter, and other left-wing internet giants ever existed. What's more, he says, we have never charged readers to access our content, ever. That amounts to over 200,000 stories in our WorldNet Daily story archives that readers like you can access for free. Rather, he says, we've relied on the advertising revenue we generated from companies that wanted to reach our vast conservative Christian audience with the products and services they had to offer. We also received voluntary gifts from our readers who valued our content and wanted to support our mission, a mission to cover stories that the establishment news media did not think were worthy of attention. And then he says, I'm talking about leftist major newspapers like the Washington Post, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, hard left broadcast news networks, including NBC, CBS, ABC, and, of course, he says, radical left-wing socialist cable channels like MSNBC and CNN, shamelessly biased anti-conservative networks that peddle their poisonous propaganda as news to unsuspecting viewers. He says, as a result, we're being forced to fight for our lives in a bizarre era where Google and Facebook soak up 90% of all online advertising revenue while using search formulas to deliberately drive WorldNet Daily content so far down in their search results that no one will ever see it. Facebook, Twitter, and other leftist-run social networks strip conservative publications and organizations of their ability to solicit donations, sell merchandise, or else shut them down completely. And, he says, payment processors like PayPal and Venmo blacklist conservative Christian and pro-life publications to make it possible for us to take in donations or sell goods over the internet to our readers. He says, these are just some of the battles we're fighting with every ounce of strength we can muster, and it's why I'm urgently asking you to help us with a contribution.
Yeah, now donate to Liberty News Radio, libertyroundtable.com. Donate to WND.com. But I normally don't like to read long things on the radio, Kurt. I like more commentary and stuff. But in this case, I think David has nailed the issue and summarized what's happened over the last 5 years. Maybe 10 years. At first, we started out, the internet was the salvation. The internet was the opportunity to level the playing field. Now it's turned around where these basically tyrannical big tech companies have literally changed the game and locked us out. Okay, they were gatekeepers in the news and the media for a long time. Then we circumvented them with the internet. Now they're coming back and shutting us all down. And what's interesting to me is most people don't realize, and even WorldNet Daily is not highlighting this, the government built these big tech companies that are doing this to us. All the while, big government now is crying foul, saying big tech has done this to us. We better let government solve the problem. The Hegelian dialectic is live and well and is literally shut out David Kapilian at WND.com and us at Liberty News Radio. I mean, the fact is, there's persecution big time. We're being persecuted, says David Kapilian. He's absolutely right, Kurt. And I highlight this because, what do you think? Do you think if people got more news, Kurt, that was honest, and more news that helped people look to real happiness, feel like they have a... One of the things we do on the radio, Kurt, is we have this radio family of Liberty Roundtable Live listeners, and we believe we are a family. You know what? You're our friends and family, our loved ones, And when people listen to the radio and identify with people like us and they learn about God, family, and country and learn about honest money and feel like they have a friend in the news business, to pardon the phrase, a friend in the coin business, etc., then, you know what? They start to have happiness. They start to have that support group. They get turned to God, family, and country. They get and so things get better, but they're persecuting the very people that are trying to turn people to God, family, and country. And then they run around and go, hey, Facebook is melting down. Well, Facebook isn't doing that. Okay? God, family, and country in relation to the hierarchy of needs. And so you look at that and you say, you know what? September is suicide prevention month. The suicide rate in the U.S. is out of control. Donald wants to fix homelessness. But what are the real answers and who's pointing you to the real solutions? And then who's getting literally persecuted for it? And in Steve Stockman's case, he's getting prosecuted for it. I mean, this is out of control. And I bring this up because the First Amendment's at stake. I bring this up because, you know what, if we want true happiness, if we want to follow Wallet Hub's understanding of true happiness, I don't think we're going to get very far. They don't have any of the real building blocks of true happiness that I can see. And they've hit on some points, but they're doing it societally, not individually. Individuals build families. You got to have happiness individually and in your family. And I'm telling you, if you have a happy home, you're going to have happy people. And if you have a meltdown home, you're not going to have happy people. Happiness starts in the home. Happiness starts in relationships with God and in the family. That's where happiness happens. And all the news services that are Christian, that are pro-life, that are standing for the things that will truly bring happiness, they're all getting persecuted. Some are even getting prosecuted. And all I'm telling you is we got to pray for the right things, we got to work towards the right things, and we got a long road to hoe. And I know it sounds like I'm just on a crazy bender that's not related to honest money, but I think honest money is the key to happiness. Honesty is one of the great keys to happiness. Trust and stability and a support group and family and loved ones and friends. And as Kurt says, not FaceTime the app, but real FaceTime, ministering to one another, spending time with people, not things. Those are the answers, folks. By the way, speaking of that, our next guest, second hour, a similar theme. Our guest will be Andy Manchin, Vice President of the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC.org, AMAC.org. Let's talk with happiness to him. And they've got an incredible group that's providing a support group for incredible people, conservative people, I might add. Hour one in the can, two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure.